And our lesson today is the first chapter of the letter of Paul to the Philippians, and he begins with a greeting. Paul and Timothy, servants of Christ Jesus, to all the saints in Christ Jesus who are in Philippi, with the bishops and deacons, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. And then he begins a prayer for the Philippians. I thank my God every time I remember you, constantly praying with joy in every one of my prayers for all of you, because of your sharing in the gospel from the first day until now. I am confident of this, that the one who began a good work among you will bring it to completion by the day of Jesus Christ. It is right for me to think this way about all of you, because you hold me in your heart, for all of you share in God's grace with me, both in my imprisonment and in the defense and confirmation of the gospel. For God is my witness, how I long for all of you with the compassion of Christ Jesus. And this is my prayer, that your love may overflow more and more with knowledge and full insight to help you to determine what is best, so that in the day of Christ you may be pure and blameless, having produced the harvest of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ for the glory and praise of God. And then he informs them of his present circumstances. I want you to know, beloved, that what has happened to me has actually helped to spread the gospel, so that it has become known throughout the whole imperial guard and to everyone else that my imprisonment is for Christ. And most of the brothers and sisters, having been made confident in the Lord by my imprisonment, dare to speak the word with greater boldness and without fear. Some proclaim Christ from envy and rivalry, but others from goodwill. These proclaim Christ out of love, knowing that I have been put here for the defense of the gospel. The others proclaim Christ out of selfish ambition, not sincerely, but intending to increase my suffering in my imprisonment. What does it matter? Just this, that Christ is proclaimed in every way, whether out of false motives or true, and in that I rejoice. The word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God. You may be seated. And now would you bow your heads and pray with me? O Lord, my God, my rock and my redeemer, I praise you once again for the opportunity to stand in this your church, in this your pulpit, to have read your sacred scriptures, and now to share my testimony. Amen. I would invite you, before we begin, to pull out our sermon notes. These are going to be like a little Bible study that you can take with you this week, but I wanted you to be able to follow along because this is a very important message that I want to share with you today. You know, a lot of people ask me about my private practice and my business and just what type of counseling do you provide, and oftentimes people are just curious at what kind of issues would people come to a counselor for? What types of things are different than going to a pastor, and why a professional counselor? Well, probably the number one reason I think that people come to see me at Cornerstone is that they have anxiety. And I'm not talking about OCD or those major types of anxiety. It's anxiety about daily life, or anxiety about change or things that are happening. And so that seems to be the number one. In the diagnostic world, we call that an adjustment disorder with anxiety. Now, our lesson from Philippians today is a very interesting one and an important one, because Paul addresses the issue of anxiety. And he gives us this prescription to find joy in whatever happens. And so today, I'm going to give you four prayers that I have come up with meditating on the book of Philippians to take with you, to take with us, as we pray for joy in whatever happens. And like the kids said today, that joy is that opposite of anxiety. So I'm going to give you those today. But first of all, let's go back to what was going on in Paul's life when he even wrote this letter. First of all, he's sending a letter to the church at Philippi. And that's kind of in the northeastern part of Greece. Now, Paul is in prison. He's under kind of house arrest. And he's waiting to stand trial with a king by the name of Nero. And things are not good for Paul. He's in prison. He's in pending trial. He's been through persecution. And yet he writes to this church that in Philippi that he was with, and he writes words of thank you. And one of the reasons why he writes words of thank you is this church has sent Paul money and goods so that he can sustain himself when he was in or when he was out of prison as he was going about being a missionary for Jesus Christ. It's like sometimes when we as a church choose a missionary and we fund them. And so Paul is number one in the midst of the prison and being chained. He writes this letter to the church and says, thank you. Kind of out of sync with what's going on in his life. You know, being imprisoned, maybe threatened with death, being flogged. That's not the kind of thing that you'd kind of naturally say, thank you, out of that feeling. So Paul is kind of out of sync with his living situation. But he teaches us a very, very important lesson. And the second thing that Paul wants to do is Paul wants the church to know that despite what goes on, that they're to stay united. United in Jesus Christ. And he's saying to them, no matter what happens to me, may you all in unity be one. Because that's where the Spirit is going to give you the joy of the Lord. And so as we go through this letter of Philippians today, the four prayers, here's number one. The prayer that we can say so that with joy in whatever happens, God, help me to see my challenges from your perspective. Help me to see my challenges from your perspective. So often things hit us. So often things affect us. And we have our limited human perspective. But there are things that God has implanted inside the situations. And sometimes as we process maybe the fear and the anxiety of things that are happening to us, we see a greater perspective. And so when we're challenged like that, I'm saying that we ought to look at things maybe not from our perspective, but from God's perspective, what he might be doing in and through us. And so in Philippians, Paul says this, now I want you to know, brothers and sisters, that what has happened to me has actually been to advance the gospel. Because I'm being persecuted, it's all because from God's perspective, I'm here to advance the gospel. And as a result, it's become clear throughout the whole palace guard that I am in chains for Christ and confident in the Lord and dare to proclaim the gospel without fear. And so along with anxiety comes that word fear. But I will tell you this, my brothers and sisters, that God's perspective brings clarity and reduces fear. So when we're working on something or thinking through something, one of the things that we want to understand is when we can find the perspective of God, our anxiety is going to go down, our fear is going to go down, and our clarity is going to come up. Romans 8:28 says this, and we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love him. That's incredible. And we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love him. God, help me to see my challenges through your perspective. Number two. The second thing that I came up with this week as I meditated on the book of Philippians and what Paul was saying from his prison cell, God, help me to live by your priorities. God, help me to live by your priorities. You know, we're busy people. We have lots of different priorities, lots of different responsibilities. But sometimes we become overwhelmed with those. And so we need to kind of focus in on what exactly are God's priorities for us. What exactly are God's priorities for the church, our church family? Philippians 1:18 says this, "But what does it matter? The important thing is that in every way, whether from false motives or true, Christ is preached. And because of this, I rejoice." That's a great barometer for our lives, our personal lives, our work lives, our church life, you know, that Christ is preached. Now, you may say, well, John, how do I do that in my workplace? I mean, you know, I work in a pretty civilian place, and, you know, but just sometimes by the way that we carry ourselves, sometimes by the way that we care for one another, sometimes by the way that we love one another, God's priorities come to the surface. And once again, anxiety decreases and joy replaces that. Now we need to understand this. There's something about priorities and doing the work of God. There's one thing that can cause us to lose joy. And that one thing is criticism. So we want to be really careful about when we are critical about things. I think we all know that, you know, when somebody criticizes us, it hurts. And maybe first we feel hurt, and then maybe it changes to anger, and then maybe it changes to fear. But, you know, we're all wired as human beings to want affirmation like we talked last week. But few things cause us to lose our joy like criticism. And so the next time that you're tempted to kind of criticize something, make sure that you realize that it may take the joy of the Lord out of a brother and sister. Now you may ask, John, what do we do as far as criticism, or how do we judge the things that maybe we should deem important and unimportant? And that is this. Can you say this to yourself? In the light of eternity, how much will this matter? In the light of eternity, how much will this matter? You know, sometimes we are our own worst enemies. I had a client say to me this week, "I'm sick of myself." And the thing about it is that so stressed and so worried and wanting things to be so perfect. And we acknowledge sometimes that we can't be perfect. We as a church family can't be perfect. We as an organization, we can strive to be perfect. But we have to understand that there's always going to be those things that are going to go wrong or detract us. And so when you're trying to make a decision upon whether you're going to be criticized or whether you're going to jump on board with something, or whether you're going to even stress out about something, I say this, in light of eternity, in light of my eternal life, how much will this matter? In light of my eternal life, how much will this matter? It can be big things. It could be minuscule things. In light of eternity, God, how much will this matter? So prayer number two, God, help me to live by your priorities. Now, the third one is in response to maybe the reaction of fear that the people at Philippi actually had as the book progresses, and some of the fear that we have in our lives as we face the unknowns of daily life. Third one says this, God, help me to know that with your power, nothing can destroy me. God, help me to know that with your power, nothing can destroy me. Over the past month and a half, one of the things that has been really, really difficult for a lot of people has been finances. And obviously with the government shut down and things like that, that really has a ripple effect. And all of a sudden people are worried that they're going to become, you know, with the lack of finances, they're going to become, lose their house or lose their car and not be able to make their budget or not be able to feed their family. So it's not just the government shutdown, but there's so many things going on in our world today that affect us like that, that have that threat to take away the things maybe that we love and cherish or maybe the very things that we count on. And so, God, help me to know that nothing with your power can destroy me. Paul says this, "For I know through your prayers and God's provision of the Spirit of Jesus Christ, what has happened to me will turn out for my deliverance. I eagerly expect and hope that I will no way be ashamed, but will have sufficient courage so that now as always, Christ will be exalted in my body, whether by life or whether by death." When we get that fear that something is going to destroy us, may we know that God is there with us and God gives us hope. And so there are two sources of hope that we hear about in Philippians. There are two sources of hope that we cling to that can help us. Number one is the prayers of others. The prayers of others. My brothers and sisters, we cannot even know the blessing people receive when we pray for them. Some of you pray from the privacy of your home. You have a prayer list. You have people that you pray for. You do not know the power and the stories that people have just told me about their life being changed or even just getting through grief or and difficult situations because they felt the prayers of their church family or the prayers of their friends. It is such a powerful via of hope. And Paul says that in his reading. So we want to make sure that the two sources of hope, number one, the prayers of others, and the second one is this, the help of God's Spirit. The prayers of others and the help of God's Spirit. Paul says, "I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength." Part of what we do when we come to worship is we invoke God's Spirit. When we sang today, "Joyful, joyful, we adore thee," when we went into that worship course, we do that because we want to evoke God's Spirit through our voices, through our song. And if you start to feel a little chill inside of you, that is God's Spirit warming in and through us. And so that's why it's so important that as a church family, we worship together. We pray together. Those two sources of hope that can stay with us when we're faced with those things that we think can destroy us. So God, help me to know that with your power, nothing can destroy me. And finally, the fourth one is this. God, help me to fulfill your purpose. Help me to fulfill your purpose. Paul had such faith, such steadfastness, it would have been so easy for him to lose sight of his purpose because of the things that were going on, because of the persecution that was going on. You know, in our lives, it's true. There are so many things out there that can distract us and take us from the purpose of what we are to be about. I see that a lot of times in our families. I see that in marriages and relationships. You know, the purpose of what God has for us. But that's something that we can get distracted from. And so the book of Philippians, you know, Paul says you have to remain steadfast to the purpose. And he kind of says this, that he says, "I'm struggling kind of with two ends of the spectrum." He says, "Because for me to live, I can proclaim Christ. For me to live is Christ, but for me to die is gain. And Paul knows that his purpose is to be here to advance the gospel to the world, not only to the church at Philippi. But he knows that no matter what happens, if I die, I'm going to be with my Lord and my Savior. And if I'm here in this world, I'm able to proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ. And that brings me joy. That brings me joy. You know, they could take away a lot from Paul, but they could not take away his purpose. His purpose. Listen to these words. Whatever happens, conduct yourself in a manner that is worthy of the gospel of Christ. Then whether I come and see you or hear about you in my absence, I'll know that you stand firm in the one Spirit, striving together as one for the faith of the gospel, without being frightened in any way by those who oppose you. So, these words, whatever happens, conduct yourself in a manner worthy of Christ. Paul lays out for us joy in the midst of a lot of anxiety, joy in the midst of unknown, and joy in proclaiming the good news of Jesus Christ. Joy in being with and writing to and initiating churches of God's people. This is kind of a great bill for us to kind of pray on, and that's why I'm giving you this to take home. And you can keep this, put it in your Bibles, put it somewhere in your home. But when I say, when you start to feel that the joy of your life may be waning, maybe it's through because of illness, maybe it's because of work, maybe it's because of a relationship, remember the joy in the Lord that Paul talks about from that prison cell. So what we're going to do, those four prayers, I'm going to ask that we recite them all together. So let's look at prayer number one. Ready? God, help me to see my challenges through your perspective. Number two, God, help me to live by your priorities. Number three, God, help me to know that with your power, nothing can destroy me. And finally, God, help me to fulfill your purpose. Let's bow our heads. God, Father, you give us the Holy Scriptures. Your servant Paul found so much joy in serving you. Lord, may we also find that joy as we're called your sons and daughters, and we serve you, and we bless you, and we praise you. And now, Father, as we come to our communion, as we come together to take the bread and the wine, may our spirits be infused with your Holy Spirit and the joy of your presence in our hearts. Lord, we offer this unto you. Amen.